Alright, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are chatting now with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website, also writes a premium newsletter where Brian shares a lot of his due diligence, a lot of what his models are telling him about precious metals stocks, mostly focused on a bit more advanced stage projects, not the grassroots discovery plays. A lot of projects that have an asset and have some sort of an economic study. And Brian, you dive into these economic studies. You run your own models. The problem being with developers right now is that they don't seem to be getting any love. I don't know if the market doesn't think that they can finance projects or if it's just too uneasy about the move into production, what have you. It seems like developers or more defined assets, multi-million ounce assets, are not getting any love. Maybe there are simply too many of them out there right now. Broadly though, Brian, as you've been running some of your models, what's your takeaway from potentially the undervaluedness that the developers carry in the sector right now?
Well, thanks for having me, Corey. You know, I think that definitely is a big portion of where the value is right now in the market. I think the big problem is it's not the sexiest part to be. You know, people want to see exploration where, you know, they've got that blue sky potential and, you know, the stock can move 10 times in a week. Or on the producing side where there's cash flow and there's quarterlies and there's, you know, you can trade those. Whereas the developers really are in that kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, but that middle zone where, you know, they've got some ounces, which is actual real value as opposed to the exploration companies, but they don't have that cash flow. All they're doing is burning. So I think invariably when you get into markets like this, it's seemingly the first group of companies that, you know, takes it on the chin. And, you know, for people that kind of focus on that, like such as myself, it brings a lot of opportunity. But what I think investors need to contemplate is really focus on those catalysts, on how that company is going to get that value recognized. You know, there's numerous examples like in the premium portfolio right now. You know, I really, really like the top, you know, seven companies in the portfolio, and each of them have a very good value proposition, you know, meaning good risk to reward. But the market just isn't recognizing it right now. It doesn't care. So for me, I continue to look and try to find new projects that offer, you know, great value, but really concentrate on those reasons why the market is going to recognize that value and, of course, move that share price upwards. So for me, you know, it's been a slog over the last like March and April. March was actually quite a great month with the gold price being so strong. Met a ton of companies, and some companies that I've added to the watch list, but I haven't found necessarily anything that I want to take my cash and invest into the company, because I just don't know if the market is necessarily in the mood to recognize developers for the stuff that they've, or the value that they've added. But, you know, honestly, if you've got a longer time horizon, I think that's exactly where you want to be. And for me, I'm still, you know, 90% invested in the market. So in actual fact, you know, I'm still very much in the market. It's just that last 10% that I haven't deployed yet.
Well, Brian, I find this topic to be very interesting as someone that also invests in a lot of development companies, because I've noticed there are literally about two or three dozen companies that have defined pretty interesting resources, 1 million ounces, 2 million ounces, 3 million ounces, 4 million ounces, 8 to 10 million ounces. There's a lot of them out there, but there are a couple different categories. And this is what I'd like to ask you about. There are some that we kind of see each cycle. Yeah, they've got a lot of ounces in the ground, but they're bulk tonnage, low grade, not that interesting, and they never seem to get built. There are some that have come up recently, just in the last year or two, as new companies that also have big ounces, but they maybe were forgotten projects and they've got big resources. But again, not all resources in the ground are the same. There's different strip ratios to get them out. There's open pit, there's underground, there's combos where they're somewhat open pit and then they go to underground. What has your attention when you're trying to pick which development companies you think have those catalysts that are going to get either a major interested in buying it, or that's going to allow investors to jump on the train and watch them move it from development into production?
I'll answer two different ways. Firstly, I'll say that I don't have a defined or set criteria exactly for the company. Like economics is definitely, or the quantitative side of things is definitely the first thing I look at. And then some qualitative factors, like especially the people that are running the company, the amount of money they have and such. And then, you know, broadly speaking, again, I think you can never count out size, meaning that, you know, they got a big property size, you know, let's say 10,000 hectares, the ounces you definitely want to have over 100,000 ounces of production. And, you know, these sort of numbers. But that doesn't necessarily have to be the way it is. And that's what I'll answer a second way. I think that, you know, these juniors can have different stories, and these different stories can be made up of different components. And I'm going to talk mainly about the qualitative side here, such as like where they're located. Let's say there's a 1 million-ounce deposit, oxide deposit in Nevada, and it's located, I don't know, near a midterm producer or mid-tier producer or even a senior producer. And let's say it's fairly high grade. Let's say it's a gram and a half per ton, all near surface, all the other stuff, you know, works out. So the values there in what you calculated in your discounted cash flow model, plus the company is selling at a discount to that value. And then you've got the other component of, you know, their proximity to this mid-tier or senior, and, you know, the truckability and the easy processing of the ore. I think you can put together a storyline that says, hey, you know what, this is a very attractive project to that mid-tier or senior producer. So in those cases, if the storyline fits, I would be a buyer. Conversely, you know, if you're looking at deposits, let's say it's up near James Bay or, you know, Northern Quebec, and you've got that same 1 million-ounce deposit. It's not oxide, but, you know, it's 100 meters deep, and it's, you know, fairly good grade. Let's say it's, you know, 5 to 6 grams per ton. I think you're going to have a really hard problem if you don't have some more scale there. 1 million ounces up in James Bay, Northern Quebec, is going to be quite hard for you to develop. And I think there, you know, for that story to work, you're going to have to see size there. You're going to have to see probably 3 million ounces. The grade probably works. And then again, you want to see over 100,000 ounces in available production. So I think, you know, I don't think it's ever really, you know, these components, it's how all those components flow together and how that story builds. And that's, so when I'm looking at stuff, I don't necessarily discount anything at first, but I want to see how that whole story comes together. And that's mixed with the fact that the company has to be selling for less than it's worth. And that's how I, you know, get my degree of safety when I make that investment.
So, Brian, you've been around this market for a while. We all have. And quite frankly, I remember a decade ago, a little over a decade ago, when you had 1 million ounces, people took notice. Oh, okay, this group has 1 million ounces or 2 million ounces. To Shad's point earlier, it seems like we have a lot of these projects right now. And it's been something that's in my head recently is that, do we have too many defined resources that are of 1 million to 2 to 3 million ounces that won't get taken over? So it makes it even harder to value these multi-million ounce deposits because there are more of them?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's a matter of perspective. It's like, what is your time horizon? So if you're saying in the next 3 to 5 years, then I would say, yeah, there's going to be a huge percentage of those deposits that don't get developed. And then the second to that is, but if you have a 20 or 30 year timeline, then, you know, those 1 million ounce deposits might mean a whole lot more in 20 years than they do today. But for most investors, and myself included, I'm looking at the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years is kind of where I'm looking. And so then you have to be really, really choosy in what you look at, and kind of what I was describing in the last answer. You have to make sure all those components of the story work. Again, the quantitative side, like the deposit has to have some good economics. So if it's 1 million ounces, you know, you need to, really, if you're, it's 1 million ounces, you're probably looking or hoping that it's an oxide deposit near surface. So those, you know, upfront capital costs are lower. You're probably need to be near some infrastructure. Like this thing's probably can't be located the far reaches of Alaska or, you know, the Northwest Territories or the northern part of the Yukon. So, you know, what I'm saying is these components all have to work, and it definitely takes some thought into how the investor looks at it and puts that whole story together and really, you know, is able to justify to themselves why this smaller deposit is going to get built or bought by a senior mining company. And that's, you know, honestly, that's why I would say, and I think most investors, if you talk to the like really experienced guys who've been around for 30, 40 years, they say you don't bother with small deposits or small mines, because small mines have the same problems as big mines. And they're absolutely right. And I think for most investors or the majority of investors out there, really, you should just be focusing on those top tier things that really stand out, where you don't necessarily have to do a ton of thought. You can look at the people running the company. You can look at the deposit and its economics and say, hey, you know what? This is a top tier or world class deposit. And realistically, given my knowledge of the sector, this is probably where I need to put my money and have the least risk of losing it. But again, it all depends on the investor, you know, what their risk profile is, what their knowledge level is, and, you know, how they actually view the market.
Well, Brian, just one more question that comes to mind on developers is there is also, I'll split it into two different categories on this one. There's companies that have a defined resource. They're not really doing a lot of drilling. They're working on economic studies. They're moving it from a PFS to an FS. They're doing metallurgical work, and they're trying to get it bought out, but they don't have a lot of value drivers that animate the market other than a couple key milestones. And their whole, we've talked to probably a half dozen of these, not just in gold, but in copper too. Their whole value proposition is once we put out this economic study, then people will want to buy us. Or we'll have to make a construction decision. Then the other side of this is companies that have a big deposit and they're continuing to grow through exploration, and they're hoping that the drilling success animates the market and gets people excited. Between those two camps, are you more excited about the companies that are moving it forward with economic studies to like get that big milestone? Or are you interested in companies that still have all that exploration upside?
It's hard to answer that question straight up because, again, I think there's so much that it depends on, you know, all the other facets that kind of lead into it. What I'll say is this, you know, typically those companies, like it's probably the biggest difference, I think, between the ASX and the TSX and how the companies are run. A lot of the Australian companies that I've talked to over the years, you know, they are much more prone to go through the whole process and put a small mine into production and then start to grow it with cash flow. And a lot of the companies have been successful in doing that. On the flip side, the venture companies over here in North America have been much more prone to not putting small mines into production and maybe selling the story that's what they're going to do. But really, they just plod along and try to grow the resource slowly, or like you said, on the other side, focus completely on exploration. So, you know, again, it's hard for me to answer. But what I'll say is this, is that you need to have catalysts that catch the market's attention. And typically, in my experience, economics, PEAs, pre-fees, feasibility studies don't usually get, they're actually, I think they're mostly used as liquidity events for longtime shareholders. So invariably, I don't think that they necessarily bring the value that they're always thought that they might. Really where that value is, I think, mostly driven is in that expiration potential. And of course, a good base and whatever that is. So if it's a million ounces and these guys keep on exploring, I think that's probably what you're, especially in a market like today, that's probably where you have your best chance of catching market attention and really having people, you know, again, you'll get that blue sky when you've got a hope and a dream. I think that's probably where you have your best chance of moving share prices. On the other side, the people that are just solely focusing with, you know, small deposits on economics, you know, who knows? Not every story is going to be the same, but I think they're less likely to catch market attention. And in fact, you might see the releases of those economic studies as liquidity events, meaning that you might actually see a share price drop. But again, that's just how I view the market right now. And of course, each company is different.
Each company is different. Unfortunately, it seems like every company is getting sold down right now. So that makes it a little bit tougher. But either way, though, Brian, it is always great chatting with you. And I do appreciate you wrapping up this first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Again, everybody, thank you for tuning in. And please keep in touch when you have any questions or you think that we should be featuring any companies on the show. Our email addresses are fleck@kereport.com and chad@kereport.com. We're going to be back with all of you Monday morning. Please, again, go back through our website, check out all those daily editorials from last week. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.